Oh, he keeps loving me so very, very much. Keeps on blessing me. The lesson today, I told a preacher earlier, you know, as I study these lessons, I told him, I said, I think these are some of the best lessons that I've ever had. But then I stopped and thought about it a while, and I told him, I said, you know, I think I feel that way about half the lessons, though, when I get together and start studying and putting them together to try to teach them, because no matter what it is, I learn so much from the preparations that, man, it seems like some of the best lessons I've ever gone over or taught or anything else. Appreciate your prayers. The lesson today deals about David and Bathsheba. And as you think about that, you know, it's mainly dealing with adultery. And I would think that probably our class is out of that category to where, you know, most of us are old teenagers. So, you know, I think probably that side doesn't fit. However, I want to bring this out. You know, sin is sin. And I will add this, though. In my opinion, some sins are worse than others, but I don't even want to talk about that today. I want to say sin is sin. It doesn't matter. The things that lead to the sin are the same, whether it's adultery or whatever it is. So, you know, as we see the path that David went to sin with Bathsheba, we need to protect ourselves from that going down that same path, no matter what it is, or we will end up in some kind of a sin that we don't want to be in when it's all over. So we want to go on through with this lesson and learn, why did David end up sinning with Bathsheba? What was the path that took him there? David was a great king, but the time came, and the Bible says, when kings go to war. Okay, David did not do what he was supposed to be doing, or this would not have happened. And you know, that's a problem with us a lot of times. We get into sin for the same reason. There are certain things that we need to be doing for God, and we put them off, and we don't go and do them. And because we're not where we're supposed to be at that time, something comes up and draws us astray, and we go on down the path into sin. You know, these things here are about adultery. They're quotes, but again, as I said, sin is sin. Listen to this. When adultery walks in, everything worth having walks out. And that's the way it is with no matter what the sin is. When sin comes into our life, it helps everything else that's good in us to walk out. And then also, another man said, adultery occurs in the head long before it occurs in the bed. And you know, our head, we need to be careful what we think about. We need to be careful about what we look at. And Proverbs 6:32, whosoever committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. There's verse after verse after verse that talks about it. The world we live in today is carnally minded, and the general idea is, if it feels good, do it. If it feels good, do it. And that gives us an excuse. But we find, you know, God, he instituted a lot of things. He gives us pleasure. However, some pleasure has boundaries put in it. Certain things are meant to be enjoyed, but only within the boundaries that God set. But Satan is constantly trying to take the good things and move them to another perspective so that the things he wants us to get involved in can come in. To start with, David's affair, we'll call it that, started out with a flirtation, and then a romance, and then came the affair. Satan likes to deceive people into thinking, you're different from the others. You can go ahead and do this thing and it won't affect you because you're different from other people. That's what Satan wants us to think. That despite what happened to others, sin's going to turn out different from us because we can handle it. Satan wants us to believe that and go down that path. David, at that moment when he looked out over from the top of his palace, he was not able to foresee the consequences of his sin and what it was going to do to both him, his country, and his own family. He didn't see it. You know, there is a quote that is unknown, and I tried to look it up and see who said it. And a pastor even has made reference to this. Sin will take you farther than you intended to go. It will keep you longer than you intended to stay, and it will cost you far more than you ever intended to pay. Now, there are sins of omission, and there are sins of commission. Now, the first one we want to talk about is the sins of omission. And you know, as I think about the sins of omission, you know, I've told you 100 times, probably, maybe 1,000, but I was in the Navy, I was on a carrier. And you know, when I was on a carrier, you'd go to town, for instance, in Naples, Italy, walk down the street, and there would be the chaplain sitting in a bar with a girl on his lap drinking beer, whiskey, or whatever it was. Okay, I reached a conclusion that I didn't want to go on Sunday morning to the, I forget now what you call that service on Sunday morning, anyhow, you know, chapel service. I didn't want to go and listen to the man that had sat the night before with a woman on his lap drinking beer and everything. So I didn't go. However, I will say this. I was not setting the example of being in a service to worship my Lord like I should have been. And it set me back spiritually because I wasn't setting the correct example that I should have been. I should have gone to church and made every effort that I could to get the other people to do what they should, but I didn't see it that way at the time. I said, no, I'm not going to go. So you see, that was a sin of omission. I didn't go to church. I omitted doing some of the things I should have been doing. And David, even though it was a time when the kings go to war, he didn't go. Now, we don't know why he didn't go. There could be, well, there's listed 3 reasons, but I'm not going to go over them because of time. But, you know, we don't know what the reason is because the Bible doesn't tell us. We just know that he did not go to battle, and it was at the time when they went. And David, because he didn't go, if you look at the end result of his not going to battle, his life was ruined. His family, people lost their life in his country, his countrymen. And we miss opportunities because we don't do the things we should be doing. What are some of them? You know, what should we be doing? Number one, we need to be in church when the church doors are open to let people know, hey, what's this all about? You know, I want people to know when I drive out of my driveway, hey, every Sunday morning this guy goes to somewhere. Where do you think he's going? Well, he's going to church. You know, I want people to know. How about tithing? You know, sometimes we don't tithe. We don't visit. We don't witness. We don't stand up for the Lord. There's so many sins of omission that we commit. We often do them. We should be busy doing things for the Lord, and because we're not busy doing things for the Lord, we end up committing sins of omission. We often do things that we should not because we're not busy doing the things we should be doing. The first things that led to his sin, he did not do what he should have been doing. Many times we end up doing that because we fail to do what we should. We omit doing what's right, and when we do, when we omit doing what's right, we'll probably end up doing something wrong. It says in James 4:17, Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. What does that mean? I need to be in church on Sunday morning. Why? I need to. It shows my love for the Lord. We need to realize if we're doing what we ought to be doing, that it'll keep us from temptation and it'll keep us out of trouble. To he that knoweth to do good. The tragic portion of David's life began when he omitted doing what he should have been doing. And that's the way it is with us. We can get into trouble because we commit those sins of omission. Then there are sins of commission, things we should be doing, but we don't do. Because he did not do what he was supposed to be doing, look at this. He saw her. Now, if he had done what he was supposed to be doing, he wouldn't have been up on the roof of his palace looking out over the countryside to see what was there. Now, let me say this. I do not think that Bathsheba was setting herself up to be seen by the king. She was taking over care of her Hebrew responsibility that was laid down in the laws. She was not in any way doing what was wrong. He was the one because he wasn't where he was supposed to be doing. And because of that, he looked. He saw her. When he saw her, he should have turned away. He should have gone and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I should have been out where I was supposed to be, and if I would have been, this wouldn't have happened. But instead, he sends a message and calls her to come to him. And you know, having lived in Africa, it's very difficult with their culture. It's very difficult for a woman or a child, especially a young girl child. It's very difficult for either a woman or a girl child not to obey the voice of an older gentleman. When I use that word gentleman, I don't mean it necessarily in those terms, but you understand what I'm saying. They almost have to, according to their culture, respond. And if the man says, come, they, by culture, they have to respond. And that's what gets these young girls. They don't know how to not go when the old man calls them. He sent for her. And when she came, he sinned with her. Satan is constantly trying to throw things before our eyes that will draw us away from God, to tempt us not to do what is right, but to do what he wants us to do. One of his tactics is, of course, the lust of the eye. James 1:14-15. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. When David saw Bathsheba, he should have immediately turned away, but he didn't. Because he thought he was able to handle the sin and its consequences. But we need to flee the sin and not just the consequences. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 3:7. You know, we've seen a lot of people publicly deny and hope that their secrets would remain a secret. But a few of those, President Clinton, he thought he could hide everything. Tiger Woods, John Edwards. And you know something? There's a lot of preachers getting themselves into trouble these days. One of the pastors that was very special to me, because when my mom died in 1982, he drove from a couple of states away to come to my mom's funeral. He was the only supporting pastor that I had, except those right in the community, that drove a few miles to my mom's funeral. But you know, about 3 months after that, he ran away with the piano player. And that was a big discouragement to me, because he had grown in my eyes because he made the sacrifice to come to my mom's funeral. And then these things happen. Satan is out there working, and he will work on us and try to pull us away from the Lord. You know, we have such an amazing God. He loves us so much. I enjoy coming to church. I enjoy teaching a lesson. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to sing tonight, so if you don't want to hear me, don't come. But you know what I told Donna the other day? I love to stand up in this church and sing. And I told her, I said, Donna, if you can help me, I know I don't carry a tune right. Help me so I can do better. I said, what do I need to do? I said, I drowned Betty out and no one can hear her. And I even told her, I said, honey, the other day as I was practicing, I had to cough. And while I was coughing, she kept on singing because I'd looked up the thing on YouTube and we were playing a piano thing off YouTube and singing with it. And I said, honey, you do so much better without me. Why don't you get up there and sing by yourself, because it sounds so much different when you're singing by yourself. She said, no, I don't want to do that. Well, I'm glad she said that, because I want to do it. Even, you know why I want to do it? Because I'm serving my God when I do it. I feel like in my heart, I'm serving God. You know something else? I get up and I try to walk up here, and I tell Betty, when we're singing, during a prayer or something, at the end of the offering, while the people walk up to count put the money thing there, we're going to walk up front. You know why I do that? I hate to see a 2-minute lapse in the service while, I'm coming. Oh, where's that song at? What am I singing tonight, huh? You know, let's keep the service going smooth for God and bring glory to Him and show, hey, I want to be prepared to serve my God when the time comes. I told my wife the other day, I said, honey, I can't teach a lesson if I don't have more material than what I need to teach it, because I don't feel like I'm ready for it. And that's why I got 15 pages today, and I couldn't even read through 15 pages in a half hour I have to teach a lesson. But I have to have more than what I need, and that's why sometimes I get lost going through my notes and I miss things that I marked that I wanted to tell you, because I got too many things marked. And I should go back through, and I did. If you look through here, I went back through and X'd some things out last night, because I said I ain't got time for that. But you know, I want to serve God. I want to bring honor and glory and praise to Him. And you may say, well, you're not bringing in praise to my ears. That don't matter. I'm bringing praise to God, because I'm singing for His glory and not for mine. Betty keeps telling me, you don't have to shout at me. I'm not shouting. I'm just getting excited about it. That's all it is. I like to serve my God. And you know what? I like to get excited about it. Well, turn over here to the Psalms 36 and we'll... You know, okay. We see Him confessing. Sometimes, you know, because we're Christians don't mean we have a free pass. In fact, sometimes because we're Christians, God may hit us a little bit heavier because we knew better to start with. And sometimes the closer we are to Him, He has to slap us a little bit harder to get our attention. Hallelujah. You know what? I'm glad He slaps me a little bit harder and draws me back. You know, I'm glad He gives me another opportunity. Whew. How many mistakes have I made? I'm not going to start telling you about my sins in the past, because then you wouldn't come next Sunday for sure. You know, it says in Luke 12:47, that servant which kneweth his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. That's what I said earlier. You know, sometimes we Christians, Lord may have to slap us a little bit harder to get our attention, and to let us know, hey, buddy, I can understand it if someone else did this thing, but I can't understand why you did it. You're in the Word, you're reading, you know what the Bible says, you're hearing what the preacher says. We need to be careful and walk and serve God. We as Christians need to ask God to give us strength to call upon the Lord when temptations come. And it does say this in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. You know what? No sin's going to approach us that's not been out there before. It's no, there's no new sins. You know, it says, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able. He will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You know, there's an old TV show. Dr. Campbell was confronted by a patient. And the patient said, Doc, I've broken my arm in two places. The doctor looked at him and said, well, don't go back to those places. I think that's the way the Lord sometimes needs to speak to us, huh? We can't regularly put ourselves into the face of temptation and not be affected. The violation, the destruction, or the ruin, the defilement, whatever you want to call it, that's what followed David's looking. He looked, he called, and then he went the rest of the way. The violation. Though your sins be as scarlet, Isaiah 1:18. Though they be red like crimson. Despite the appearance the devil tries to put on, sin will mark and change people. It will change us. Sin is ugly, and no action is without consequences. Newton's third law of motion. Anyone know that? Newton's third law of motion. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. For every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. A Scottish pastor made this statement. A good measure, now the first part fills in the second part, but it's, I like the second. It says this: in great measure, according to the purity and perfection of the instrument, will be success. Did you get that? In every measure, according to the purity and perfection of the instrument, will be the success. It is not great talents that God blesses as much as great likeness to Jesus. That's what he blesses. You know, he don't bless me because I have 20 talents. He blesses me because I'm walking and I'm near Jesus and I'm trying to live a life that copies his life. That's what God's pleased with. And then it says, his name is Robert Murray Machane. A holy minister is an awful weapon in the hands of God. A holy minister is an awful weapon in the hand of God. God's standards are high. He expects a lot out of us. But he don't expect more than what we're able to give. He does not expect us to be something we're not. You know, if he did, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to go over there and sit down at that piano and play a song. I did one time. I learned how to play My Country Tis of Thee. That was all I could play. My country tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. That's about as far as I could play it. But I learned how to play that much. I thought I'd learn how to play the piano. But I didn't have enough gumption, drive, or whatever it is. I wish I'd have kept on. But that's why I push my kids, every one of them. I tell them, I gave you my talents. You know, God's standards are high. Next week, we're going to talk about Nathan and David. Nathan came to David with some advice for him. And it would take a man like Nathan to tell David some of the things he told him, because David was a powerful man. But that didn't bother Nathan. Nathan spoke to him what God told him to speak to him about. Nathan confronted David about his sin. And Nathan told him, he said, "You've not just broken a moral law. You've not broken a marriage vow. But you have actually," quote, "despised the commandment of the Lord." That's what the sin was. His greatest sin was he showed despising the commandment of the Lord. And sin defiles a person's judgment. David knew that God had stated that adultery was forbidden, and he also knew that he was committing adultery with Bathsheba. But it didn't matter. David went on with it. However, I want to read to you Psalms 101. David wrote, "I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing." Listen to verse 2. "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way." David wrote that. "I will behave myself wisely." And he thought he would, until he looked out over the village when he should have been at the battle. He says in the rest of verse 2, "Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart." Look at verse 3. Here's the one that he should have been listening to. He wrote this, "I will set no wicked thing before my eye." And he allowed it to come before his eye, and he didn't turn his eyes away. He said, "I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." Verse 4. "A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person." That's David writing. And you know what the Bible says? He was a man after God's own heart. And he sinned. So how much do we need to protect ourselves? Verse 5. "Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor," David says, "him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer." Verse 6, "Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell within me, with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off the wicked doer from the city of the Lord." God urges his children to see the evil that's coming. Proverbs 22:3, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." The Lord's clearly stated in his... By the way, Exodus doesn't record 10 suggestions. It records 10 commandments. David's judgment was defiled. Deuteronomy 11:26, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord our God." You see, that's not just talking about adultery. That's talking about sin. That's talking about doing right. Not only was David's judgment defiled, but his heart was also defiled. We get a glimpse into David's repentance in Psalms 51. Let me real quick read this. Psalms 51. "Hide thy face from my sin. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take away not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with a free spirit." God cannot ignore sin. He cannot and he will not. When we defile ourselves, we lose fellowship with God. Like David, though, we can repent and we can renew and restore the joy of our salvation. God vessels that need to be holy. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-4, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Our bodies, Paul tells us, are the temple of the Lord. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? And then on down through verse 20. You know this one guy, Dr. Gotesh or something, he talked about how he said he loves to go running and he works up a sweat and he comes home and he wants a drink of water. He said he'll usually come in the house and there's two places he usually goes. He goes to the refrigerator and gets a bottle of water, or he goes to the faucet and runs a glass there. He said there is a more opportune place, a nearer place. When he comes in the door from running, the first place he passes where he could get a drink, he passes it up because it's an unclean vessel. It's a dog's watering dish. He said, I don't go to an unclean place to get me a fresh drink of water. I go where it's available. God wants us to be vessels of honor. And then real quick, the disaster that all this brought about, the tragedy, the heartbreak. The story of Bathsheba, one little part of one verse. Now listen, the story of Bathsheba and David, one little part of one verse deals with the act. Chapter after chapter shows the consequences of it. One little sin, just a little thing recorded in the Bible. And the consequences of that sin, that just a small portion, just a few words describes it. The results of it takes chapter after chapter. And, you know, I've got some of those things down here, but we don't have time to go through them. But listen to this. Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The pleasures of sin, that's only temporary. It's selfish, and the long-term pain that comes on afterwards lasts forever and ever. When the morning was past, David sent and fetched to his house, and she became his wife and bare a son. But this thing that David had done displeased the Lord. David had brought displeasure to the Lord. Now the sword that shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Despite all his efforts to cover the sin, he couldn't cover it. Months passed. We need to seek to please our spouses and family, but most of all, we need to seek to please God. Adam and Eve, their shame, their sin caused them to hide themselves from God. And that's what our sin will do for us. It'll cause us to hide ourselves from God. There's consequences to others. My goodness. You know, 2 Samuel 11:17. And the man of the city went out and fought with Joab. And listen to what it says. There fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. David committed a sin with Bathsheba, and some of the people in the battle died because of his sin. Then not only that, but his sons, that the child that they had died, his sons committed sin with their incest with their own family. Example after example goes through it. Lasted for years. David suffered himself, but not only did he suffer, but his whole family, his country, his friends, and everybody else suffered because of his small, just a few words in the scripture, of his sin. When he should have been out, the time when kings go to battle. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Pray, Lord, that you would bless us as we get ready for the preaching service. Lord, forgive us of our sins, and Lord, help us to serve you, to put you first, to do what you want us to do, to bring honor and glory to you by the life we live. Father, we know we can't handle it, but you can handle it if we'll let you. Lord, help us to trust you that you'll take care of these things and give us the wisdom to live the life we need to live. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. 10 minutes.
Never fails.